The Hannity kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
Fading it out. There we go. What's going on, guys? Happy Monday. It's not Monday night. No, it's a Wednesday night. The old schedule made a Wednesday have to happen, but it's going to be a great show, man. I'm looking forward to it. What's up, everybody? My name is Chef Plum. I am a father. I am a beer drinker. I am a MC for an event tomorrow night, as well as the following week. And not only that, I am a chef, currently a chef with a microphone in his hand. And that makes me an expert. At least in my own little world, that is. I hope you guys are doing well. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live right here on a Wednesday night. You know, like I said, the schedules had to happen and just the way the work schedules worked out. And not only that, of course, with the start of the NFL 2016-2017 season, my beloved Pittsburgh Steelers had a Monday night game. So I had to watch my game. It's the way it goes. I actually had to listen to most of it on the radio because I had to work, and then the game didn't start. It started like at 7, I think. And so anyway, it was all very strange, but it was great. Welcome to the show, you guys. It's going to be a great one tonight, man. We are going to chat with the one and only Carlos from Lost Car. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never been much for these gimmicky chef coats and whatnot. But let me tell you what. And that's what I thought Lost Car was. I thought it was just another one of these gimmicky chef coat companies. Boy, was I wrong. Completely wrong. I have since become a giant fan of this company and of this gear. I know it's primarily, you know, West Coast based with what they do, but here on the East Coast, I am leading the revolution. I am a giant fan of the Grunt shirt done by Lost Car. It's what I'm currently wearing now. It's what I wear to work. I love these things. Not only do I wear them to work, I actually wear them on the Edible Nutmeg on the Road series, and Edible Long Island on the Road series. Totally dig them. A lot of fun, very comfortable. They look cool, so I'm just down. I can't wait to talk to Carlos about it. I've heard he has some great stories about it. So not only that, it's going to be a great talking to him. Carlos will be here in about 20 minutes or so, 15 minutes or so. But we are also talking to our buddy Chef Mark from, God, what did he say his restaurant was called? Chef Mark Vaquito from, he lives out in Mystic, Connecticut, kind of eastern Connecticut. He is competing in the Chef's Challenge happening next week here in Connecticut, another fun event going on. I want to talk to Chef Mark about competing in events because, you know, events to me, it's interesting because I don't know if they're, I mean, they're fun to do, but is it worth it? Like, does it matter when you do these events? Because for me, I've done a lot of them. I've done a lot of these competitions and whatnot. And listen, the best part about the entire thing, I was in New Orleans, and the best part about New Orleans was meeting the people. You know, you go into these events, you know that there's absolutely zero chance to win. Like, it's just not going to happen, especially if they have local guys competing. Just not going to happen. It's the way it goes. It's fine. You know that going in. But, you know, it's more about just having a good time. And trust me, that's what I did in New Orleans. Had a fantastic time. Met some amazing people and still talk to those people to this day. But to me, it's like, do you really gain a lot from it? Like, you know, a lot of times you do these events and, you know, maybe it doesn't cost you a whole lot to be a part of it, but, you know, it does take your time and you have to take off of work. And when you're not at work, you're not making money. So to me, it's a little bit tough. I'm just not sure if it's actually worthwhile. And in my personal opinion, I say, yes, it's worthwhile, but I think it's worth getting another opinion from a guy who's been in a lot of these. And, you know, you're talking to a chef here who is cut from the same cloth as me. He and I have been in the business a long time. My friend, Chef Mark Makito. Chef, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Plum?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. You know, awesome to talk to you. Looking forward to seeing you next week at the Chef's Challenge. I know you're going to kick ass, right? That's the plan. You got to reclaim that title.
Oh, definitely. You know, I lost it last year to an egg, a scotch egg. Adam blindsided me. Chef Adam Bellini, he blindsided me, man. I'm going to try to take it back. Yeah.
He's a good cook, man. He's a good cook. He does things right, and he does things with very high standards, Mr. Bedini. But I got to tell you what, I think you could take him this year, man. I know he's been practicing and planning his dish for a while, but I think you can take him. I think so.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Even if I don't, we're having fun here, man. This is like my third year doing this. First year we competed together, me and you. We drank a lot of beer together.
You won.
Too, man, that was great. And that's the one I won. But, you know, so what? I mean, last year I went, I had a great time, and I didn't win. And I'm going back this year again. I'm going to have another good time, man. If I win, I win. If I don't, you know what? It's all good, man. It's just about competition, having fun, a bunch of us guys getting to know each other, and, you know, hooking up on Facebook and Instagram and stuff, and kind of like sharing each other's recipes and seeing what everyone else is doing out there. It's kind of cool.
Well, it's kind of been the question I've been thinking a lot about today. Like, are these competitions worth it? Like, in all honesty, in my opinion, winning or losing, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. Nobody cares. Like, in the long run, you do the competition. If you win that night, everybody's yay, cheering, happy. But next week, no one cares. But to me, it's about meeting cool people like you and maintaining that relationship and just building a network of, you know, culinary professionals that you became friends with all over the place. I think that's what it's about.
And that's, I agree with you 100%. You know, doing the competitions, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a big adrenaline rush. A little bit of an ego booster, even if you don't win, you're in the competition, you know. But like you said, man, networking and meeting other chefs and seeing what they do, man. When I was out in San Francisco with Guy Fieri doing that Guy's Grocery Games, I met some awesome chefs, man. And we're still friends, you know, Kaimana Chi, from Hawaii, and we had a ball, and you know, we still keep in touch with each other, and you know, he comes down to visit me, we go to the casino. It's cool, a lot of fun.
There you go. You know, I think that's kind of the thing. I mean, even with a competition like doing grocery games and shows like that, and just to bust balls, how'd you do on grocery games? How'd you do?
I did good. I came in, I was first runner up, man. I made it all the way to the last round.
You were the last loser.
I was the last loser, yes.
You know how I do on that show, right?
Yeah, you did pretty good, I think. But you were in a real grocery store. I was in a, yeah. Remember how you did on the Chef's Challenge? Wait a minute. Remember how you did in Chef's Challenge 2014? I won.
You know, it was fun. Listen, that event, though, let's bring that up for a second, because that event was interesting, man, because, you know, I felt like, and I'm not shitting on anybody, but like that event itself, that particular year, it's funny because I think when these events first start off, they have trouble getting people to be a part of them. And to me, you know, that first year, I think I felt like, and maybe I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, the only real chefs that were there were you and I. Is that weird to say? Am I being a dick?
There were a couple guys out there that were really, really aggravated that I won. I don't want to mention any names, but I haven't seen them in any other competition or anything else. Haven't heard from them or anything. So I've heard from
you.
Well,
there was a guy making an entire, like, we did a competition. It's supposed to be tasting plates, and this dude's putting an entire half rack of ribs on a plate. Like, if people are doing that, you got no chance, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, Jesus Christ. I'm trying to stay within the food cost parameters, and then you told me I thought we had to stay in that parameter, right? What? But my point of my story is that I think what makes these competitions more fun is when there is set rules and people know what the expectation is, and it's made very, very clear. I mean, I think the first time I did the Chef's Challenge here in Connecticut locally, I had no idea. They called me 3 days before the event and said, "Would you please come be a part of this event? We're not getting any media attention." And I was like, yeah, sure. I didn't know what to expect. They told me I had $100. I thought that's how much money I had to spend. And I was like, really? But then yeah. I talked to guys like you, and you got, you're covering these beautiful local scallops. I'm like, there's no way that motherfucker spent $100.
Yeah, I spent like $300.
Yeah, but I didn't know he could do that. And, but,
yeah.
But I think now it's very clear. Do you, how important do you think rules are to something like this?
Oh, definitely in a competition. I think the rules are really, really important. Just to set your parameters up, man, you need boundaries, you know, because you'll get guys doing some crazy, crazy stuff if you just let them go wild, and you'll have some other guy just trying to freaking, you know, go out there and put one of his best dishes forward that might be something, you know, relatively cheap, but the guy might be really good at it. So, you know, I think rules in competitions and things like this is very, very important. I just judged a sub throwdown last month in New London for the Historical Society, and the rules were a little bit vague, unfortunately. We're going to work on that for next year. But you know what? The guys that won, Carol Cody, she took it, and these two chefs from the Navy, they took theirs. They did this awesome thing called a soup and sandwich. It was a fish chowder inside of a sandwich in a hollowed-out submarine chowder. It was awesome. Soup and sandwich in one bite, man. It was freaking amazing.
And these are military guys. And these are military guys.
Yeah, these guys are great. Dude, these guys are great.
That's what it's
they
about.
They called me an hour before the competition and said, hey, is there room? I said, yeah, come on in. Oh. Come on in. You guys are in. Yeah. And, you know, they took it. And Carol, she's no joke. She had this Brazilian pork. Holy shit, was that good.
Was it good? Wow.
It was awesome. It was
I don't know if Miss Cody knows. She's a good friend of mine too, and I don't know if she knows. I know she's going to the World Food Championships this year. I wonder if she knows that I'm a judge at that this year.
Are you really? Yeah, she has two golden tickets, which most chefs would cut off their right arm for one. She has two. She got one from the sub throwdown and one from the seafood challenge she won. So she is she's a force to be reckoned with. She is. She's an awesome chef, man. Awesome.
You know what's cool about that, though, is I think events like that are starting to really get legs and start taking off a little bit, especially when you have these other events happening all over, the ones you're doing and whatnot, like you're a part of, the sub throwdown, things like that are offering up, you know, as a prize, they can get a ticket to go to this event, which I think is really cool, because what that does is, to me, now it makes all these competitions a little bit more legit, because then there's like a goal at the end. I mean, I like to win. Everybody likes to win. But I think when there's a goal, like where everybody can meet and get together, I think that's really cool.
I agree. You know, you need a goal. You need something to look forward to once you're in the competition. You know, number one, you're focusing on your dish, and then you're checking out all the other chefs and seeing what the hell they're doing. You know, but when that when you have that light at the end of the tunnel, man, you know what you're working for. You know, that's what it's all about, man. But you know, camaraderie also. You know, you're getting to know these other chefs, you know, with all these different styles, man, and seeing what they're doing, and they're checking you out, and you're checking them out, and you know, somewhere down the line, a couple months later, you're thinking about what they did, and you're throwing it on a plate in your freaking restaurant, and you're serving it. You know,
right. I agree, done, and that's the bottom line. So the bottom line on the entire conversation here, Chef, do these competitions from a culinary standpoint, are they important? You know, in the end, are they important for a chef to do?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's more of an entertainment thing. I think it's more of an ego booster. I think it's where you can showcase your abilities and your craft. But in the long run, you know what? We're all chefs, man, and we all go through the same crap. And you know, 10 years from now, no, it doesn't matter. 5 years from now, it don't matter. You know, it's in the moment. Definitely.
It's about putting smiles on people's faces, man, and making great food and staying true to yourself with it. That's what I think.
Well, absolutely, it's a form of entertainment. Just like when you go out to eat to a restaurant, man. You know, going out to eat is a form of entertainment, and you being the chef in that restaurant, when people come to your restaurant, you are entertaining them, and that's the bottom line, man. Entertainment. We are in the entertainment business, you know.
Couldn't be more correct. I think you and I are on the same page with the stuff. But I'm looking forward to seeing you next week. Compete in this event. We're going to have a great time. I'm probably going to bust your balls a little bit, but of course, why wouldn't I? Would expect nothing less from me. Brother, tell them where your restaurant is now and where they can find you on social media.
Okay, social media, Facebook, you just, you know, look me up, Mark Vaquito, Facebook.com. On Instagram, I am Blue Shallot, which is my catering business. It's called Blue Shallot Gourmet. I live in Niantic, Connecticut. My restaurant is Captain Daniel Packard Inn in Mystic, Connecticut. It's been around for 30 years. I just took over the helm there about a month and a half ago.
Nice.
Stepping into that restaurant is a big big step forward for me because, you know, it's an established place. It's very well known. And yeah. Columbus Day weekend, I'm going to launch my menu, and we're going to take it from there, man. I'm going to run with it, and we're going to do some really cool stuff. But we're going to keep the traditional style of the restaurant. There's a lot of comfort food there, you know. It's a 250-year-old house. It's an old inn that Captain Daniel Packard had. He was a pirate. He was a privateer.
Nice.
And, yeah, it's haunted. It's really cool.
Damn, so,
yeah,
this sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Look, here it is. I'm coming down. Matter of fact, I'm going to shoot the cannon for you. I'm coming down. That's what I'm doing. There you go. Make sure you check him out. Right there. Go see my man. Arr, there it is. He's doing great things, man. Looking forward to seeing you next week for sure, seeing what you throw down. You're a great chef, and you're an even better dude, man. I'm happy to call you a friend, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Awesome, Chef Plum. I feel the same way about you, man. I can't wait to see you next week, man. Have a good
one. It's gonna be. Hey, what do you wear for chef coats, man? What are you wearing now?
What am I wearing? I'm just wearing, you know, just chef coats, whatever I get. What you got? Anything good?
I was the same way, and then I ordered my first stuff from my man tonight, Carlos at Lost Car. And let me tell you something, it's changed my life. I mean, in the intro, I was saying I was never a big fan of these like designer chef coats and whatnot, but let me tell you something. I've got my first couple of shirts from Carlos at Lost Car, and I'm addicted now. They're the greatest thing ever. And I totally, totally get it. You got to check them out, man. It's great stuff.
I will tell Carlos to hook me up. I'm a medium.
There you go. A medium. Man, and in no fucking way you're a medium either. I've seen you drinking beer.
Yeah, okay, listen. I lied. I'm a medium to large. Kind of like, you know, there medium you to well. Medium well.
There you go. Hey, man, I'll see you next week. All Thanks right. for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Plum. Have a good one, man. Bye.
See you, buddy. There you go. That's my man, Chef Mark Vaquito. What a great guy, man. Looking forward to seeing him next week at this Chef's Challenge here in Connecticut. I just hope that through all this work, I can stay awake long enough. Because I am killing myself work-wise. That's what I'm doing right now. I'll tell you why I'm killing myself work-wise. Because the work is there, and you got to strike while the iron's hot. But in order to keep myself going, I tell you what I do. I drink coffee. And that's right. I drink Birds of a Feather coffee from down in Tampa. These guys are killing it right now. Small batch craft coffee. That's right. He roasts in small, small batches. They use only the highest quality specialty grade beans. Their blends are very complex, but extremely approachable. Not too scary when you see it, and they're always, always roasted fresh. The Morning Lark blend, that's what I want you to try. The Morning Lark blend is awesome. It's bright and has almost a honeyed sweetness going on, with just a hint of citrus and a touch of spice. It's great stuff. Make sure you check them out at birdscoffeecompany.com. You can even sign up for a monthly subscription so you never run out of your favorite. That's right, birdscoffeecompany.com. The subscription is fantastic. Once a month, every 3 months, whatever you need. Make sure you check them out. That's birdscoffeecompany.com. There you go. How about that for that's called a live read. How about that? I'm getting better at it when I do it. Listen, I am going to take a breather really quick. But before I do, and we bring on our next guest, I'm looking forward to talking to Carlos. He's on. I see him right there on hold, brother. I'm coming. I want to throw a quick shout out. And everybody knows that I have a little bit of affinity to pro wrestling. As we all know, the entire world knows, my man CM Punk had his first UFC fight this week, this past weekend. And as clearly expected from anybody who follows UFC, who's done jiu-jitsu, who's done martial arts, knows he was going to get his ass kicked. And by God, that's exactly what happened. You put a white belt in with a brown belt. It doesn't matter. There's no chance. There's no chance whatsoever unless he gets a lucky shot, which isn't going to happen. But what he did do, is he went for it no matter what anybody said. He did his dream. And let me tell you something. I have so much respect for that, man. And like the man said, and not to sound too preachy, it's not about how many times you get knocked down. It's about getting back up and learning from your mistakes. Trust me, I've been knocked down too. So big shout out to my man, CM Punk. And you're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here. Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, all the places you can see it. Any place you can find your podcast. If you listen to us on the next day, we're still here. Here's a big shout out to my man CM Punk. We'll be right back, guys, with Carlos from Lost Car. Hang tight.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth
in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
That's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef Knives.
The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef knives allows for smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF and get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott are great dudes over there, so check them out at ErgoChef.com. And you
That's right, guys. Coming back live right here to Plum Love Foods Live on a Wednesday night. What a great night it is, too. I tell you what, man, just hearing and talking to great people. And my next guest right now, I'm going to bring on Carlos from Lost Car. I just talked to him in the green room here for the first time ever. We've never actually had a real, we've talked on social media, but we've never had a real conversation. And, you know, there's certain people that when you just talk to them, you can just tell they're very, very cool people, and they're guys who have been around the block. They're people who have, you know, they've just seen a lot of things. And you know, I think I'm one of those guys if you meet me in person, and I can tell for sure that Carlos is one of those guys. And in all honesty, I'm looking very forward to having a conversation with this man. Guys, my man, Carlos from Lost Car Chef. Dude, how are you?
I'm good, Chef. How are you?
I am having a great Wednesday, man. I really am. It's been a busy-ass day. I'm sitting down here staring at some candles I got lit, having a nice Heineken light, and talking to you, brother. Couldn't be much better.
Oh, I'm not too far from you. I got the lights dimmed, and I have some Buffalo Trace whiskey along with some water. My sister told me, I've been coughing all day, so she told me, you know, make sure you have some water to not cough online, you know?
Oh, that's probably a good idea.
So we're good to go.
See,
and then I got my kids out right now. Exactly.
Your kids are doing karate, right?
Now playing karate. My little boy just turned orange belt. Not that that's anything. He's only six, but you know he walks around the house like he's Bruce Lee, kicking everything, you know, chopping everything. He's wild.
That's hysterical, wild. Man. Are you a UFC guy? Do you follow UFC at all?
Not really. You know, not really. But with my little boys, they love American Ninja Warrior. So we watch it all the time, and they're doing crazy things outside. They do crazy things outside on their little playground that they have in our backyard. So it's a lot of fun. You know, I mean, they're wild. They're wild little animals is what they are.
Man, you know, I was saying right before we went to the came, you know, went to, before we went to break, I was talking about, you know, I don't hide it, man. I'm an old pro wrestler. I'm an old pro wrestling fan. CM Punk, a former pro wrestler, had his first UFC fight this past weekend. And I mean, if anybody who's done martial arts, I'm willing to bet even your son would have looked and said, he's going to get his ass kicked. And that's exactly what happened. You know, people don't understand what it takes to do this sort of stuff.
I love what you just said right before you came online with me. I love that you said, you know, no matter how many times he gets knocked down, it's the amount of times that guy gets back up that matters, right?
Yes. And 100%.
Starting Lost Car, man, we get hit and we get knocked down often. And, you know, it's a true testament to my team and myself that there's no other option other than to stand back up and keep going. That's it.
Yeah. That's all you can do because, listen, it's the DIY mentality, man. You got to do it yourself because, listen, if you sit around and wait, no one's going to do it for you. And, you know, just for the sake of putting it out there, and I said it at the beginning of the show, I'm going to say it now. You know, I told you on the green room there when we were talking, like, I've never been a guy who subscribed. I'm a chef for 20 years, bro. I've never been a guy who subscribed to, you know, I don't want to say designer, but, you know, brand name chef coats and things like that. You know, I wore what was available. It's kind of what I've always done. You put out the grunts, the black shirts, and I loved them. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to order one. You know, I didn't tell you it was me. I just fucking ordered it. And it's become my go-to. It's become my favorite thing. Dude, it's so light. The way it stretches, the way it feels. Honestly, it's changed my entire – I mean, it makes me happier at work, bro. That's what it does. I think being comfortable plays a big role in that.
Not only comfortable, but – but the functionality of it, having the pen pockets where they are, the apron loop that's made with four neodymium magnets on the back to hold your apron down, You know, the whole fact that it's cut a little bit longer than your traditional cook shirt. So big boys like you and I, you know, I mean, 6 feet and 6 feet plus, 250 plus. When you reach up for that tomato can or whatever you're reaching up for, your belly's not hanging out, you know? So I added a little extra length for that. So it's the functionality of it as well as the comfort. You know, I look at our coats, Chef, as, and I know you only have the grunt right now, but our higher-end coats all have Lycra in them. They all have at least 3 to 4% Lycra in them. And the reason why is because, to me, it feels like, in all honesty, I know I'm going to sound like an idiot right now, but it feels like grandma's giving me a hug, like a male parent spanks. You know, it just holds me in. It just has me, you know?
Really?
So when I created these coats, I just wanted coats that worked, you know? I was never a guy who wore chili pepper pants or clogs or anything like that, you know? And I never, 21 years in the industry, I never wore those things. I just wore, like you said, what was available, you know, houndstooth pants, white, basic, double-breasted chef coats. That's what was there. That's what I wore, and I was happy to wear it, you know, until I wasn't.
Well, one of the things I've noticed a lot about this shirt, man, and you've put way more thought into it, which I can't wait to talk a little bit more about, and I'm going to stop kissing your butt here in a minute about it, because I honestly, it is my favorite thing in the world. Like, I was in New Orleans, and I had guys, you know, who were bigger than me, and listen, I'm not a giant guy, but I'm not a little guy. I'm 6'3", 250, but these guys who were looking at my, they were, man, what is that? What are you wearing? And I was like, I told him, I was like, this is my man Carlos. You got to check him out, Lost Car. You might hear from him. I'm pretty sure you might have already, just don't know it yet. But these guys were like, they were like, man, this, I was like, it's going to sound weird, gentlemen, but you need to feel it. I said, take your hand and feel my shirt. And I said, make sure when you do it, you touch my butt too. And obviously, you got to make it weird when you're in the kitchen. But they were like, God, that feels amazing. I'm like, you got to check it out. This stuff is amazing. And I tell you what, my issue has been with this shirt, no matter what I get on it, it washes clean. Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
It's the kind of fabric we use. I mean, listen, 21 years in the kitchen, all I know is how to cook. That's all I know. You know, I have a 21-year-old daughter right now who just moved out of my house on Saturday. And when I found out she was pregnant, all I did was I got a job. I got a job that I knew I love cooking, and I went from being a server of where I was at to being a cook, because I had to perform as a father, right? So,
of course,
all I know, Chef, is that. So over the past couple of years that we started Lost Car, I really aligned myself with some of the best in the industry. I think, you know, my business partner is amazing when it comes to material and garments and sourcing and this and that. So, you know, we found stuff that will work in the kitchen.
Man, and you've definitely accomplished that. So listen, I'm here, brother. I'm here.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where you yourself. I'm turning this off. Why do they keep? They want to put background music on, but it's too goddamn loud. I can't hear anybody.
I thought we went to commercial. I was like, what?
No, all of a sudden we're in the dance club. You and I, we're just hanging out dancing. So it's you said yourself, man. You've worked in kitchens. You worked in restaurants your whole life. Talk about that. What made you start doing that?
What made me start working in the kitchen?
Yeah,
I think grandma.
No,
my grandma's gonna be 96 on Friday, and
wow,
and it was always that. You know, it's the same story. It's the same story you hear from any entrepreneur that went from cooking to something else. It was It was the fact of feeling like you were at home when you were cooking. You know, making people feel happy and being able to share something that you did for them. You know, and that's what made me go into that. I mean, I was always a creative person. I feel. You know, I was always an artistic being, I guess. And I thought cooking was my outlet. And it was. You know, I got myself, I was able to buy a house. I was able to live comfortably, I guess, cooking. Yep. You know, I never went to culinary school. I know I should have. I know that's the reason or the rule. But I always considered myself homegrown. You know, just bust my ass, work long hours, show the chef that I was more willing and capable than the people above me. And I just worked my ass off. You know, that's the bottom line, is I just worked hard. I feel I have a good work ethic, you know, because of my father and my mother, and nothing is given, you know? So I just had to learn the best I could cooking. That's it.
You know, it's funny, 'cause you talk to guys who are in this business, and You know, they seem to, some guys will put down, you know, they won't talk good about themselves, and I hate that when they work in like a sports bar or, you know, even a corporate restaurant, which is not, I'm not a fan. That doesn't work for me. But to me, that's cooking. That's being in the game. And to me, if you're doing that and it's paying your rent, it's putting food on your table. Cooking food for me gave me my wife. Cooking food for me has given me the life that I've had. Cooking food for me has given me my family. To me, that's real life. And cooking food is a very, very powerful thing. And to me, that's what shows it. I think it's kind of the same thing with you.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, my dad owns a huge business, and I never chose to work with my father. The bags that you get that when we ship stuff out, you know, I'm sure you've already seen a couple of them. Those bags mm-hmm. come from my dad's company. My brother worked there.
Wow.
My sister used to work there. She works with me now. But I always chose, you know, what was going to make me happy? You know, I love my dad to death, but sometimes him and I don't see eye to eye. And I knew that if him and I were going to work together, him and I were just going to argue every day, all day, you know? So
right.
I always chose to do my own thing, and that was cooking. And like you said, man, we all have our story about where we started and the kitchens we've worked in for 3 months, 3 years, two weeks, right? But who cares? Who cares where you work, the name of the restaurant? I mean, there's some chefs out there that are doing what I'm doing. You know, they have their own apparel line, and they're killing it, man. They work for some amazing chefs in their history.
Yeah.
And I have to.
Yeah.
But my bottom line was always to take care of my kids. You know, I was at one restaurant at one point that wanted me to travel with them, and they wanted me to go to Barcelona, and they wanted me to go. But, you know, Chef, it was weird, man. I just, at that point, wanted to start a family. And I had a woman that believed in me and went through my drug addiction with me and helped me get clean. And at that point, I didn't want to travel. I just wanted to make things right, I guess, you know. So I ended up facing life. You know, I stopped partying. I stopped playing games. And I just focused on starting a normal life, I guess, you know? So
yeah.
Regardless of where I worked in the past and the chefs I worked for and the names of the restaurants I worked for, the hotels and the companies, like, I still have 21 years of cooking experience. I got 14 of those have been executive chefs at awesome places, right?
Wow.
But wow. It was time to move on. It was time to do something a little different, and I did.
Well, it's tough to be chefs at these big restaurants and want to have a family. It's tough to do both when it comes to that, man. And just to tag back what you were saying before about having a woman and she believes in you and go through things with you, man, I say it all the time. I'm telling you, man, a little bit of confidence and someone to believe in you, God, there, I don't know if there's anything more powerful than that in the world.
Changes the world, buddy. It's weird, right?
I mean, anybody.
It's weird that a woman can give you the power to change your life, you know, and my wife is.
Absolutely. And yeah. You know, that's how my wife is. My wife believes in me full and wholeheartedly, even though she'll make fun of me, but that's fine. But, you know,
mine too.
Yeah. But someone to believe in you and give you a little confidence, and God, it's a powerful thing. And look what you've done, man. You know, I don't know how much you want to talk about the drug addiction stuff. I don't know much about that. Like I said, the funnest part about this for me is that you and I have never talked, and I can assure you now we're going to talk a lot, but interesting
I'll be honest with you. I don't hide it. You know, I had like three or four people that were kind of prefacing me on this interview, saying what I mm-hmm. should say and what I shouldn't. And my answer to them was like, who cares? Like, I am who I am.
Yeah.
Lost Car is what it is. And Lost Car wouldn't be what it is if I didn't come through the ranks. And, you know, being young and starting in this industry so young.
Right.
You know, I was introduced to Beth. I was introduced to Crystal. And unfortunately, you know, I hate to say that, but, you know, my life chose that path for a good 10 years. And you know, with by the grace of God and by my wife and my family that never gave up on me, that just wanted me to get normal, that I did that, you know. And, you know, I was talking to somebody about it a couple of days ago, and they were asking me like what my experience was with that drug, because they think their parents are on it, you know. Well, if I wasn't on it, I wouldn't be able to give that advice, you know. And, you know, if I wasn't on it, I wouldn't be able to go to meetings and say, hey, listen, this is who I was, but look at who I am now. You know what I mean? And I hope to God that my kids never get involved in that. But if they do, guess what? Who's going to be the one to talk to them? My parents were angels. You know, my mom was an angel. My father was an angel. He was a king, you know, and they didn't go through that. So, but I'll be able to, oh God, I'll be able to pick it up, man. If I ever see my kids come in all crazy and shit, they're already nuts. But if I ever see them come in all nuts at 15 years old, I'm going to piss test them in the second they walk in my house, you know?
Right. Right. Dude, much respect for that, man. I mean, we've all battled demons. We've all have stories, and I've never talked about mine a whole lot, but much respect for that. I mean, seriously, that's amazing that you would go through that and still be where you're at now and have the family and just, you know, again, there it is. It's someone to believe in you and a little confidence to look what's happened. And that's amazing, bro. Seriously. I mean, I try to keep everything very, very positive here. This is a safe place to be, and no one should ever feel weird about it. And, you know, I mean, we've all been in the business, and you and I are probably roughly close in age. And, you know, it was a much different culinary business when I was, you know, 22 years old. It was way different than it is now, I think. I mean,
I call it the
wasn't
wild, wild west. Back then, it was the wild west, bro.
Yeah, we were the Lost Boys. We were pirates. We were a broken band of guys who people gave up on, and we worked in kitchens. But by God, we believed in each other, and that's what it was about. And that camaraderie, I think, still exists to this day. But you know, you look back at those days, man, and it's just very, very different. There was no celebrity chefs. It was a completely different world then.
Hey, chef, do you remember watching? For me, I'm in the West Coast. I'm in California. Do you remember watching PBS, Great Chefs of America, or Great Chefs of the World?
A great show. Remember, it's still a great show.
I mean, dude, that was, to me, that was a cooking show. That's what made me want to become a chef. That, you know, it sounds silly, but that music that they played in the background, that wasn't even music. It was just, you know, some instrumental. But being able to go through, you know, talking to chefs and seeing them slice things up and chop things up, and they didn't care how they looked, and they didn't care how they sounded. They were just showing you how to make a duck a la orange. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that was...
Wow.
I'm waiting for those cookie shows to come back. You know what I mean? Like, no more of the competition. Like, let's just get back to... Let's just get back to straight cooking. Just chopping a vegetable or herb and protein and make what you make, you know? Like, let's see if that survives Food Network. I'm sure it would, because you got 100,000 million chefs out there that want to see that over competition shows. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. God, I mean, you were absolutely right. And here's where I can see the chef in you right there. Like, it's just, and I want to point it out, because there's a lot of young culinarians who check this show out who don't have as much experience, who are just getting into the business. And, you know, one of the things you could point out right now from Chef Carlos, and that's what we're going to say from now on, because he points out a particular show, but not only did he point out, he painted a picture. He talked about the music in the background that makes him think about watching this guy make a duck a la orange. It wasn't like, hey, remember that show? No. He painted a picture with it. Because I think the chefs, it's the details. It's the little things. And that's what separates a chef from a cook, in my opinion.
I agree.
Dude, so listen. We've been talking here. We're getting really deep, by the way. I'm already getting emotional. but we're getting deep with all this stuff, bro. And I've got a guy on hold here who wants to – he wanted to call in and just say what's up and tell you how much he appreciates and about talking about the stuff that you're doing as far as a chef coach. Well, I hope he's still on the phone. Chef, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, can you hear me?
There it goes. Carlos, I got Chef Adam Bedini on the phone here.
What's up, Chef? How's it going? Long time no talk.
Yeah, man. It's been a while. How you been, brother?
I'm doing good. We're Oscar's doing well. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Awesome. Good to hear, man. Glad everything's going well, dude.
Awesome to hear from you, man. I met Adam. Hold on 1 second. I met Chef Adam in Myrtle Beach when I went down to see him at Chef Gatoris's place.
Yeah, that was
man. It seems like forever ago, dude. That is, oh my God.
Yeah,
well, I'll tell you what.
That was an awesome time.
Adam was one of the guys who was like, yeah, we got you, brother. Adam was one of the guys who was like, yeah, you got to check this stuff out. Adam does some catering work with me on occasion, and he's a fantastic cook. He's like, you got to check this stuff out. And he really put it over to me and made me definitely take it seriously and look at it. And I'll tell you what, I'm a complete Lost Car fan now. I'll tell you what, Adam is too.
Dude, I've been a Lost Car fan since day one, man. Those coats, man. Like Plum said, they're light, they're breathable. You know, it's not like the uncommon thread. You know, they're really thick, you got to wear a shirt underneath. Otherwise, you know, your nipples are chafing, and that shit sucks. You know, so. But no, yeah, I love them, dude. I've still got that Chuck, man. It's still in flawless condition. I love it. I use it every day, and it's awesome.
That's awesome. Listen, I met so many people throughout the United States of America. You know, I love what I'm doing now. You know, I have an amazing job that affords me to meet people like Adam and Kevin Levine and James Montejano in San Diego and just so many people that I've been able to meet. You know what I mean? So leaving the culinary industry makes me sad sometimes. But you know what? I left the industry still being able to hang out with the people that I love to death, that are still doing things that made me the man I am today. And that's how
there you go. And you got here on the East Coast in Chef Bedini, who is still, he's like, you got to check out these coats, man. They're fantastic. You got to check out what Lost Car is doing. And, you know, you're getting repped all over the place, man. So, Adam, I appreciate you introducing me and telling me about it. You know, hey, Bedini, we're going to see you next week at the Chef's Challenge, man. You ready?
Oh, dude, I'm ready. I don't know if you checked out CT Style yesterday, but I kind of gave away my plate a little bit.
Well,
I didn't go all out.
Well, I'm definitely gonna fuck with you.
Good luck to you both.
Ready.
I heard Mr. Mark Vecchio a few minutes ago was talking some smack. He better bring his A game if he wants to get that belt back.
Oh shit! There you go. There you go. Hey, Adam, man, I'm gonna holler at you later on, dude. All right. We appreciate you calling in.
Oh yeah, brother. Take care, Carlos. Good to hear from you, man.
Hey, Chef Adam, thank you so much. Really, I'm glad I'm talking to you. Call me
anytime. Yeah, likewise.
All right, bro.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Later.
See you, buddy. So there he goes. That's what I'm talking about, man. You just have guys who you've affected so far away from where your home base is, even here. Like, what you're doing is such a big scale to see that happen. I think it's got to be kind of, I mean, to me, that would just be amazing and just so humbling to see that, you know?
It's not, Chef. You know, honestly, I'm just a dad, you know, who used to be a chef, who now runs an apparel company, who shouldn't be running an apparel company, but I do. You know, the stuff we do isn't with flames on it. It's not going to ever have chili pepper print on it. It's just a chef coat. It's just something that works for us as chefs. And there's so many companies out there that say they're chef driven. And there's a couple companies out there that I love. You know, let's say True Cooks. You know, I know that we're kind of in the same industry a little bit, you know, but dude, what he's doing, what Chad's doing as far as his print is the shit. You know, I mean, if I wasn't in this industry now, I'd be ordering his stuff all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's just crazy, man. It's just crazy that I'm doing something I love that gives me a schedule that lets me have a family. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, and we still,
you're still in the business. You're still involved in the business, you know?
Yeah, my whole model with my company and with my whole model, we have 11 people who work for us now and stuff. And it's not a lot of people, but it's a lot, you know, for me. But the fact that we're able to pay payroll every, the fact that I'm able to pay payroll every 2 weeks blows my mind. You know, it blows my mind. The fact that we're on the verge of getting a corporate contract that goes national with US Foods blows my mind. I was in Minnesota with them a couple weeks ago. Yeah, and I told them. I was in Minnesota with them. I was in Minnesota with them a couple weeks, 2 weeks ago, and I just was blown away. You know, here's this uneducated guy who should be cooking and dicing vegetables, right?
Right.
Is sitting in front of them talking about taking our company national, bro. 2,500 sales rep pushing Lost Car. Like, come on.
Oh, my God.
You know, who knew?
That's insane.
You know, who
that's
knew?
That's insane.
And that's just, like, one of the things we have in the pipeline. But for me, it's the fact that I have an amazing support system. My family, my business partner, you know, the people who believed in me. We just hired a sales rep that is going to change everything for Lost Car. You know, and my sister who runs the internals of it. And my son and my future son-in-law, he dates my daughter. This dude dates my daughter, and he does all the embroidery. He has become a master at embroidery. And you know,
really?
If I'm ever able to call him my son-in-law, You know, I thank God every day of my life because he's such an amazing human being. So
wow,
we've come into contact with amazing people, you know, and the fact that I'm running an apparel company, like, dude, who knew? There's no magic in what I do. It's coming up with stuff that you and I want to wear. You and I want to put on, you know, you and I want to make sure it's stretchable and it's flexible and it's functional. You know what I mean?
That's amazing, man.
That's it, dude. There's no magic in what I do.
Well, you know what? I don't know if I call it magic. I call it hard work. And if hard work is magic, then I think there's some magic involved with it. And you think, I just believe, like, good stuff for good people. You get out of the world what you put into it, and you seem like a very positive guy. And I think that's amazing. And I think you're starting to reap the benefits of it. I'm so glad I got you on the show tonight before you go national, when I can't even get you on the phone anymore. So I'm glad I got you now.
Listen, bottom line is here. Check it out. People always know my number. It's posted all over Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Tonight we're doing a 25% off until Friday. I might increase that to 35% off. Here's a code word, Chef. You ready? It's called Green Bean. GREENBEAN. Green Bean.
All one word.
No S.
All one word, right? Okay.
Yeah, I had posted it that we're going to do 25% off. We'll change that to 35% off for your listeners, okay?
Wow.
Anything they buy, 35% off. Anything they buy. We've never done it before, but who cares? You know, I've had some Buffalo Trace. Let's make it fun. And anything they buy.
Hey, look, if we get Carlos drinking, we might get 75% off if Carlos keeps drinking. I keep him on for another hour.
Hey, keep me on. Free, dude. 99 everything.
Oh, fuck it. Just send the shit out to people. Dude, that's an amazing deal. 35% off. The code word is Green Bean, all one word. And you can get 35% off over at Lost Car. God damn, that's awesome, man. That's a really, really amazing thing to do. I appreciate you doing that. I mean, that's really, really cool.
And let me tell you why the code word, Chef. Green Bean, I'm Mexican. My wife is Irish.
Okay, that makes sense.
You got I'm a Mexican, like a bean. My wife is green, like Irish, green bean. There you go. That's how I came up with it. Let's do this.
It's like a bad tag team in wrestling or something. I don't know. Dude, that's amazing. So listen, what made you start Lost Car? I mean, I just can't. And of course, obviously, got to talk about the name. But like, what made you say, you know what, I'm going to make chef coats? And it's amazing. We live in a time now where that can be a thing. I mean, 15, 20 years ago, you could never have done it. That wouldn't have been a thing. But now we live in a time where it can be.
Yeah. You know, in 2004, I started writing ideas of better chef coats. Because at that point, I was, you know, I was an executive chef, and I had just started my executive chef tenure. And, you know, I just thought there's got to be a better coat out there. And I tried my competitors. I won't say names, but I tried them, and I love a couple of them. But they weren't what I wanted, you know, and I just kept on like drawing and designing and blah, 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 and came up with this like little notepad or whatever that I kept for a couple of years. And it just got to a point where I turned 40, you know, I'm 41 today. I'm 41 now. My birthday was July 13th. Yeah. And when I was 39, I told my wife, like, I got to do something else. You know, I got to see my kids more, but I want to stay in this industry. Like, no need to change. Like, no need to go into nursing, right? Like, I'm a chef.
Right, right.
I don't know how to talk proper. I don't know how to talk business speak. I just know how to be a chef. Like, what can I do to stay in this ground? Well, I have this book. And that's how we launched. You know, we launched in a couple food trucks that are outfitted to look like men's warehouses, I guess you could say. They're wall-to-wall, beautiful. You walk in. All right, Chef, check it out. So if we're in the East Coast with you, I would pull into your restaurant or into your house, right? You'd come on board. You'd be able to try something on. You'd be able to say, oh, wait, this large doesn't fit me. This extra large does. Or this extra large doesn't fit me, but this large does. Each truck is outfitted with a $10,000 embroidery machine. So I'm able to put Chef Plum. You know, Chef Plum or your restaurant logo or your hashtag or your whatever. And you're able to walk off our truck in 20 minutes with a fitted, embroidered coat with whatever color you want. And that's what we do.
So
we evolved. We have three now. We're up to three trucks. One's right now in Phoenix. I got one in Las Vegas. We still have one in Huntington Beach area where we're located out of. We produce our own coats. Wow. We manufacture all our own stuff. We don't do stuff in my first run of coats was in Los Angeles, but we're doing about 1,200 coats every week and a half right now. So, you know, Los Angeles wasn't
coats.
Able to keep up with it. That's our output right now. It's about 12. That's our average. 1,176 coats per week is what our
that's
output
insane.
Is for currently.
That's insane. And when you get this, if you get this deal with U.S. Foods or with the corporate thing, oh my God, dude, that's going to be insane.
We're
Can you handle that volume?
We're at 100,000 coats every 4 weeks of volume from our from my manufacturing.
Is crazy.
So yeah,
that's
I mean,
crazy.
It's crazy, right? Like, dude, who knew?
I mean, you have to just wake up in the morning and go, "What the fuck is going on?"
Sometimes I wake up thinking, like, "Where's that next day sale coming from? You know, where's today's sale coming from? How am I going to?" That's just stressful, you know, and that's why I'm drinking a lot more Buffalo Trace than I ever have been. It's where's tomorrow's income coming from? You know, because in the beginning,
well,
we were hustling trucks every day. We were hustling trucks. We worked chef hours. We worked Monday to Sunday. If a chef called me at 2 o'clock in the morning, or if I called one of my staff members at 1:30 in the morning, that's when we picked up the phone. That's when we took the order. You know, things are a little bit different now. You know, I'm not going to lie. Things are a little bit different now. But if anybody ever wanted to call me, like, call me. 562-299-3501. Call me. You want to talk about drugs?
Just said his number on
you
the air.
You want to talk about launching something, starting something new? You want to talk about being scared and you know, just call me. You know, I'll tell you how I felt when I thought that my life was over and I had to do something different. Like, you know, we're only on this world for, you know, 60, 70 good years. You know that. And
wow.
At that point, I just thought, man, do something different. Like, who cares? You know, I started cooking because I loved it. I can always go back to cooking, you know? I have so many friends that support us now, and it's just amazing, man. I meet people like you, and I meet people like Alex, you know, Adam Bedini, and all my other friends, and I was in San Diego this morning, like I told you, but
yeah.
You just got to go, man.
I mean, it's just crazy when you see what
you're
doing.
No more.
I just had no idea, like, you're such an inspirational guy. I think you got a hold of the career here when you're done with this. When the chef goes blow up and you're just looking for something to do because you're bored of it. And you're making $10 million a week.
I hope my wife's listening to this phone call.
You got a whole, like, inspirational conversation. I'm serious, though, man. You've been through a lot. And just to hear your story a little bit and talk about what you're doing, I mean, honest to God, bro, this is the American dream. What you're doing is the American dream. You have gone from, you know, doing well to kind of being, you're probably lowest than you've ever been, to get to digging yourself the hell out of that. And now having a very, very successful company that's about to be even more successful. I mean, that's the American dream, dude. Massive respect. That's really inspiring to hear that story.
Hey, Chef, I can't take it enough, you know. I tell people all the time. Like, I ask people, I say, hey, how many cars have you had repossessed? And they're like, what's repossessed mean? I'm like, I've had 9 cars repossessed, Chef, before all this happened, before I was 30. Like, come on. You know, like, things are different for me now, but they weren't. I was just a dude. That's it. I was just me, you know, and people don't know about Lost Car and people don't care to ask. They just care to, like, make up their own minds of what they might hear in the industry. And this industry is small. It's small. I don't care what people say. So the best thing to do is I always say, like, call me. If you have any questions or you think that I answered something wrong or Instagram was a shady response or blah, 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 call me, and I'll tell you straight up. You know, I got nothing to hide. Call me.
Man,
you know what I'm
saying? Amazing. And it's like the new wave of way things are being done now. And honestly, it's pretty great to see. You brought up Instagram really quick, and I know we're gonna go 5 minutes late. Is that okay? I'm sorry. I know it's a little bit late.
Yeah, I'm good with that. No, I'm good.
But,
my kids are home. I already moved away.
Nice.
I'm already in my car, hiding around the corner.
That was flawless, dude. That's awesome. We talked about social media, about Instagram. How important, I mean, you know, I spent the entire last season of the show talking to people, some pretty big name people, about just how social media is changing the game, and specifically the chef game, the culinary game, the food game, and how is that affecting you? Do you think, is social media a big part of what you do?
Listen, our biggest sales, James Mendoza, executive chef of Pink Taco and Hard Rock Hotel. I hope he's listening. I love you, James. I met him on Facebook. You know, Todd Harrington, old executive chef of Yardbird and the Venetian Hotel. I met him on Facebook. You know, and it's like, if it wasn't for social media, we would still be alive, because I push these chef coats every day like it's the last thing on earth. I'll sell chef coats to mothers who are stay-at-home moms. Like, if I have to make payroll, guess who's buying a chef coat? My grandma. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So, but when it comes down to social media, dude, it's amazing. It's free. You know, I think we probably paid about $5,000 in social media expenses in the course of 2 years. But for the most part, it is what it is. You know, it's social media. It's going to die one day. Instagram will be Facegram. They're going to merge one of these days, right? And Instagram will no longer be, and Facebook will no longer be, and whatever. We'll evolve at that point. So do I put a lot of emphasis on social media? Absolutely. Do I live and die based on how many followers we get? Bro, hell no. Absolutely not. Because if we have 8,200 or 8,100 followers, fantastic, you know? But that just means that I have to get out to 100 customers this week who don't know about me in this area.
Right.
That's it. It's just a hustle, man. You know, that's why we look at it. We look at it as it's definitely awesome, but it doesn't take away our motivation to meet new people, build new customers, build new clients.
Well, bro, you're about to get a big push here, but I've let it out here. People know a little bit. I haven't really officially said all the stuff, but our edible thing that we're doing with Edible Magazine, which is, it's been fantastic. We have a TV show starting up, and I'm rocking Lost Car on the show like a champion, and I will continue to do so for sure, because it's just, you know, listen, they tried to get me to wear like regular clothes, and I, you know, I'm a chef, man. I want to wear what I'm comfortable, what I'm used to wearing. And, you know, when you're on TV, you want to be comfortable. So, you know, you'll see me rocking that stuff, man. I'm leading the East Coast charge, brother. That's what I'm doing.
Hey, and we appreciate that more than, you know, honest to God. You know, this conversation that I'm having with you over the past hour and a half, who knew? Thank you for this. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to people, you know?
The door is open anytime, bro. Trust me, anytime. As a matter of fact, I'm actually going to talk to, there's a couple of culinary schools here that I work with. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to see one next week. And I'm going to talk to them about you, and they need to bring you in and start make coach for these students, because this is the way to go, and it's the way it should be, and they're very, very comfortable. Yeah. I'm not just saying that because you're here. I've been saying it forever.
Well, we have a killer education program as well. So if a school calls me up and says, this is my budget, awesome. Let me throw in a couple knives with that. You know, let me throw in a hot blocks cutting board with that, whatever it may be. Like,
there you go.
You know, we'll work for that. We'll do whatever we have to.
Let's take 2 seconds, man. I want to shout out my man, Kevin Levine, Chef Scatori. I'll tell you what, I had him on here, and he's a character, that's for sure. But let me tell you something about that guy. You know, I busted his balls, bro. I know you guys are tight. I busted his balls pretty hard. I was like, would you stop putting the balsamic reduction on shit? And he had the best comeback ever. As a matter of fact, I told him. Yeah, he was like, dude, look, I'm telling you. He's like, I understand, and I deserve that. He goes, and I will take that, but I will also take the people who pay me and come in here and ask for it on every plate. And I'm like, you know what, man?
You love a successful business,
a great restaurant. I can't argue that. Okay, you're right. You're right. That's in the game. That's being real. That's making food, you know?
It's the truth, you know? Chef Kevin has a following that's mixed, right? And you know that, and I know that. And I talked to this guy, and I know right now he's on a cruise, and this guy is on vacation 3 times or 4 times a year. Not just like a baby one day or 2 day vacation. This homie is on a vacation on week's vacation, right? So listen, until I get to the point where I'm on 4 vacations a year, four weeks a year on these big old cruise ships, on these big old suites that they have. I'm taking his advice. You know what I'm saying? I might not send out balsamic vinegar that's reduced, but you know, this guy is doing it right in Myrtle Beach. Like, shut up. The guy is the president of the ACF.
Yep. I'm telling you right now. Maybe you and I should start doing some balsamic reduction and we can start taking four vacations a year. Jesus Christ, dude. Nothing but love for that guy, man. He's good people.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. Him and his wife are amazing people. I love them. You know, they have taught me about humility more than anybody in this world. The fact, the way that he is, the hard work and effort he shows, you can't blame that guy, man. You can't.
Nope.
This guy works 6 days a week at his restaurant, and then he goes and he starts sawdusting and sanding cutting boards, right? Cutting wood. And like, okay, good luck. But he's killing it. He's doing a good job. And
he's
going to fault this guy for his work ethic. You're like, come on.
Nope. And yeah, I will never do that. And listen, it goes back to what you were saying earlier, man. You were talking about how much you were working and what you did. I mean, listen, you may not be the best cook in the world, but if you're willing to get in there and work your balls off, I'll take that any day of the week over somebody who knows exactly how to cut a brunoise, someone who knows exactly the measurements of a small dice. I'll take the guy who will work his ass off any day of the week. And that's what he is.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Chef. Thank you. And in all honesty, I'll go up against any chef. And I might lose, but you know what? I'll go up against them again in a week. And I might lose them next week. And it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to keep fighting until I can't. You know, until it's too late, until I'm 6 feet under. I'm going to keep fighting.
Wow. Carlos, I got to be honest with you, man. I have loved this conversation. This is actually going to be one of my favorite episodes I've ever done. I really, really, truly, truly enjoyed this conversation. I want to keep going. But it's getting late, and I know that they're going to cut me off. They're already telling me I have 22 minutes left on my counter, which is, you'd be amazed how fast that goes. So, bro, I want to ask you.
Yeah.
I want to ask you my three questions, man. My three final questions, and it's kind of a speed round. It's all fun, so don't feel like pressure or anything about it. But
no, go ahead.
And again, thank you for your time tonight. And guys, I can't emphasize enough to make sure you check this guy out and check out what they're doing, because it's no bullshit. I wear my shirts from Lost Car every day of the week when I'm working, and that's 7 days a week. So as a matter of fact, I rode in the car our last shoot that we were doing. I rode in the car wearing my Lost Car grunge shirt because it's my favorite thing in the world, and you should charge more money for them because they're worth it.
That's awesome, Jeff. thank you for that.
Yeah, man. And don't forget that code word, green beans, for a giant discount, man.
Green bean, no S.
Not plural. Green bean, only one. Just one there bean. You get one. Green bean. There it is. So, Chef, tell me, man, what was the dish you ate? Maybe it was as a kid. Maybe it was as a teenager. Maybe it hasn't happened yet. But what was the dish that you ate that made you say, oh, my God, food is a real thing? It's not something I'm doing because I have to sustain myself. I'm doing it because I love it.
God, enchiladas. My grandma's enchiladas with her homemade tomato sauce.
Oh,
and listen, bro,
amazing.
they had cheese in it that was probably 6 days old. You know, cheese I shouldn't have been eating. and she chopped the green onions that were drier than chalk on a chalkboard.
Oh,
but they were it, you know. It was it, man.
Oh, shit. By the way, I'm gonna send grandma, who's having a birthday soon, I'm gonna send her this episode so she hears you said that.
She knows I should have been eating those beans and those rice. And my grandma, let me tell you, I moved in with her after my grandfather, my hero, passed away. And she made me a vat of rice pudding, bro. A vat, like 5 gallons worth of rice pudding. And I think me and my wife ate like two cups of it, and we ate the rest, and she thought I hated her. What, mijo, you don't like me anymore? Mijo, I made you all this rice pudding and you only ate a couple cups of it. Like, come on, grandma,
okay.
I can't eat my weight in rice pudding. But anyways, you know, grandma. But yeah, right, enchiladas. Going back to your question, enchiladas with a five-day-old past the expiration date cheese. There you go.
Wow, that's insane, man.
Yeah.
I feel bad for grandma. I don't want to tell grandma what that her rice wasn't good or that her cheese wasn't good. I feel bad for her.
Her cheese ruined me, bro. I have that bad dairy problem. I forget what you call it, IBS or whatever, because of my grandma. My grandma ruined me when I was like 12.
You're lactose intolerant. Is that what it is?
There you go. Yeah, grandma ruined me. I blame that on her.
There it is. You leave it to the private chef to know what shit you can't eat and whatever shit's called. Tell me. So you're drinking a great bourbon right now. Obviously, at some point, there was a cocktail or maybe a beer or a glass of wine that you had that kind of had the same effect on you as food. Do you remember what it was?
I do. I could tell you right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been clean for 9 years. Okay. But I do drink now. So when I was clean, I've been clean for 5 years, and all I could think about, and this is West Coast, this is the fact that I'm Mexican, but whatever. All I could think about was a delicious, icy cold, sweating on a bottle Corona. That was
Corona.
It.
I knew you were gonna say it. I knew it.
Yeah, dude. Nothing was like that's all that was in my brain for 5 years before I had kicked both. And then I went back to drinking, but my first drink was a freezing cold Corona, dude. And I remember popping that top. I remember seeing it just so sweet on my tongue. That was my drink for a long time. It was just Corona. Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
Wow.
I've graduated. I graduated to a little bourbon now.
There you go. Just to digress for a little bit, man. Do you find it hard being a guy who's in recovery and you're drinking? Like, do you find that a difficult thing? Like, obviously you're in recovery, so you're an addict. You know, do you find the same thing with alcoholic beverages or no?
I do. And my wife keeps me in track. You know, she'll say, I think you're drinking too much. And I'll say, you're right. You know? But I try to remember how it was when I was out of control. So I try to reel myself back in, you know? But no, I do. Man, I still have dreams of those old times and stuff.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. That's amazing. Again, Carlos, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this conversation, and I'm not just saying that. It's the truth, and how much I actually truly support what you're doing. It's very, very inspirational, and I can't believe I had no idea the volume you're doing, and I can't believe the volume you're going to be doing as you move forward. It's crazy. Bro, what is the biggest piece of advice, you know, if you were to give a young culinarian, a young entrepreneur, and a young business person, you know, what's the biggest piece of advice you think you can tell them? Go for it.
I'll tell you, Chef, because I think about this piece of advice that I was given I think about it every day. My uncle told me once when I was leaving the culinary industry, you know, I was making great money. I was making over six figures, and I was well-respected. And I thought to my, and I told him what I was planning on doing, and he thought I was a joke, you know, because I had no prior experience in designing or clothing or material or anything, right? And he said, Mijo, listen, if you do this, then you're going to do it. And if you do it, don't ever look back to the day that you left what you're doing now. And I didn't understand that then, Chef, but I understand it now. Yeah. Because we've had some tough times. You know, we've had some bad days. And on those bad days, I've wanted to look back at 6 months before. You know, or 10 months before when I was a chef and I was doing things that were just autonomous, that were just easy, right? And I kept on telling myself, I can't go back to that. Like, this is my new calling. So my advice to anybody who's an entrepreneur or any young starting chef, like, don't look back to where you were 6 months ago. Don't look back to where you were a year ago. Like, if you're going to start something and if you're going to be a line cook and if you're going to want to be an executive chef, then do it. And that's it. There is no going back. There is no saying, oh, I'm going to move back in with my mom, or I'm going to stop cooking and I'm going to go back to school. Like, no, stop being a little girl, you know, or and I don't want to say that, but like, you focus on your goal.
You meant it figuratively being a little girl. I got what you meant.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to plan to be an executive chef and that's why you're getting into this industry, or if you plan on being a restaurant owner and that's why you went to culinary school, then do it. Then don't look back when it gets hard. Don't start crying when your chef tells you to peel 2 cases of potatoes and then you're going to go to 3 cases of onions, followed by two bags of carrots. Like, just
right.
put your head down and work and just do it. And hopefully in 5 years when you look up, you'll be at the point you wanted to. And if you're not, guess what? You'll be a lot further than you were 5 years prior. You know? And that's it.
Wow.
Is you just, I'm no business, nothing. I'm no business maverick or anything. But when it comes to setting goals, I don't even hit the goals. But what I'm saying is, like, if you have a goal, try to hit it. And then when you don't, like, okay, cool, I almost got it, but set another goal. And just keep going slowly and surely, and more than likely, by the time you're laying on your deathbed and you're saying goodbye to the people you love, hopefully you'll be able to say, I did it. Like, I got where I wanted to go and more, you know? Because we're not on this earth too long. Just do it. Just, if you're going to be in, if you're going to start your own TV show and it's going to be edible and blah, 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 dude, just kill it, bro. Who cares about everybody else before you and everybody else after you? You know, if it's going to be East Coast or whatever, just kill it until you're happy. And that's it, you know? Just do it. There is no magic.
Sound advice.
There is no magic.
It's just hard work, man. That's sound advice, man. I appreciate that. I'll tell you what, that's some piece of advice that I hope my sous chef Eric is listening to, because that right there is some good shit to hear, especially for the what's going on with him. But bro, honestly, I can't thank you enough. This has been an amazing conversation. Make sure you check out my man Carlos at LostCarChefApparel.com. You can find all the great stuff there. My favorite, the Grunt, which is incredibly affordable and fantastic. Also, you can call him at 877-MY-LOST-CAR. And look, maybe you want to get one of the trucks to come over to your place and hang out. And it sounds like a good time. Yeah. It's fun there. 877-MY-LOST-CAR. And of course, don't forget on Instagram at Lost Car Chef. Did I get them all, Chef? Did I remember any of them? Did I mess up?
That's it. And then you have mine that is on Facebook. I have a private Facebook that's just Carlos Garcia, you know? You'll find me
there. I don't think we're friends on that. I'm new at Facebook, man, believe it or not. My PR girl is like, you have to be on Facebook. And I was like, I don't want to be because I don't care what my mom's friends are doing. And she's like, yeah, but you have to be. I have stories, bro. Like, I've had fucking high school people come out of the woodwork. It's hysterical.
That's true.
But anyway.
True. I'm old.
It's nuts. It's nuts, dude. It's nuts. Well, bro, an amazing conversation. You're a very, very inspirational guy. I don't think you give yourself enough credit. You are the American dream. What you've done is awesome. And not only is that, it's awesome and you're supporting your family, you're making an amazing product, and you've taken a person who's not a believer like me and turned me into a believer. And coming on the show and talking and telling your story has just been a lot of fun. I can't thank you enough for it, bro.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate your listeners. I appreciate you. And that's it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, life. Thank you, God. Let's do this.
There it is. And dude, the door is always open, I swear to you. And I look forward to chatting with you down the road, bro. Got a lot of things happening. I look forward to chatting.
All right, Chef. Well, you have my number. Call me when you want. Anybody else? You guys have my number, 562-299-3501. Call me if you ever need anything.
Dude, that's awesome. You're the man. And I'll chat with you down the road, bro. I'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it. Be good.
All right, Chef. Thanks so much.
See you. Bye. See you, buddy. There he goes down the road. Carlos from Lost Car Chef. I'm not going to lie to you guys. That's one of my favorite conversations ever. The coolest part about that conversation is that I had never talked to Carlos ever before in person or on the phone. And that was the first time for that. And it was a lot of fun. I got this for him. Hit his boom. My man. There you go. Fire in a can. I got to get better with the sound effects. I got a couple. We're going to get a few more. Let's get into a couple of plugs and tell what we're going to be doing next week. Oh, yeah, that's right, guys. You can follow me on them Instagrams at Chef_Plum and, of course, on Twitter at Chef_Plum. Don't forget to check out LostCarChefApparel.com. You can find out all the great stuff there. And, of course, my favorite, the one, the only, the Grunt in black. It's fantastic. It's my favorite thing to wear now when I'm working in the kitchen. It's incredibly comfortable. And I'm not just blowing smoke. This is great stuff, guys. Next week is the Connecticut Chef's Challenge. It's going to be a great, great, great night. If you're in the Tri-State area, I highly recommend you check it out, ctchefschallenge.com. Go there. You can get tickets. A lot of fun, a lot of local beers, 10 great chefs competing. and running their mouths. And of course, I will be hosting this event. Looking forward to that, of course, as well. A big announcement coming up, guys. We have Edible Nutmeg on the road. It's going to be a television program. That's right. A television program happening here in the Tri-State area. Talk about making dreams come true and working your balls off. That is exactly what we have done, and I can't wait to announce more of it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your time tonight and check out the show. Don't forget to check out LostCarChefApparel.com. My name is Chef Plum. And remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we get the time it deserves. I'll see you Monday. Peace! I came to pay to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.